Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for joining us today at our online service. And we now have two options for you on Sunday morning, as you can continue to watch on our online service, or you can attend our in-person service, which I think is kind of funny that we actually have in-person services. Well, with everything that's been going on. And it is the same time, 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. But you do have to pre-register. Pre-registration is very simple. All you have to do is go to calendarbaychurch.ca and you can sign up there, just a little simple questionnaire. And also that because we are a public building, you have to wear a mask as we follow the guidelines by our North Bay Parry Sound Health Unit. And so whether you continue to watch online or join us in person, thank you so much for being a part of our service today. Well, we have a couple ways that you can give to the church. One very simple way to do that is to give online. And again, all you have to do is go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and go to the About tab, and there's ways that you can give. Very simple, very secure, and so you can give to the ministries of Calendar Bay Church. The other way is to go to mail it directly to us, and all you have to do is send it to Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Maybe I'll say that a little bit slower in case you needed to run and get a pen or something like that. It is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. And I want to thank you for your continued giving to Calendar Bay Church and for your generosity. Well, we've got a few things that are going on right now. One is our youth ministry, which is taking place on Wednesday night here at 7 o'clock. We join together with our sister group from South Shore, and they have a great evening planned every Wednesday night from 7 until 8:30. Also, we have some small groups that are up and running, and so you can join one of those. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, please let me know, and we'll try to accommodate you as quickly as we possibly can. And so just contact the church, whether through our Facebook page, through email, or through phone, and we'll set that up. Oh, our Living Nativity is getting planned and getting worked out. We're really excited. Going to be a little bit different this year, but we are very excited. And so there's lots of ways that you can help out. And if you are interested in being a part of our Living Nativity, contact either Wilma, she's probably the big kahuna that you can talk to, or Patricia or myself. And we would love for you to be a part of our Living Nativity. Going to be coming up the last weekend before Christmas Eve. So that weekend is when the Living Nativity is going to be. And so we're very excited. Lots of places for you to help out. Also, online resources, tons of them available for you. And we try to put new things up each week. Some of them are small group curriculum. Some are lessons that you can go through with your kids in order to be able to help with the lesson that we learned on Sunday. There's other things. There's poems by Susan Glenholm Bain on there. And there is also other articles that have been written. Lots of resources that you can check out. So go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca. We are very excited. Next Sunday, we're having our second children and youth service. We had our first one at the end of October, and we're planning to do this once a month. Probably the next one after this will be in January, but this one coming up the last weekend in November. And so if you are interested in being a part of that, bring your kids, and it's going to be a special service designed for kids and youth, but everybody else can join in as well. I had a great time at our last children and youth service. So that's next Sunday, November the 29th. Well, we want to worship the Lord this morning through our singing. And later on, we're going to be focusing on grace and God's grace. And so we want to sing about that. And so this is Amazing Grace.
the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
We are continuing with a series of messages called The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for everyday people like you and like me. And I'm hoping that everyone is taking the opportunity, as you know, everything has gone a little bit crazy. I don't know if you've noticed. And this is a very good opportunity to be able to develop the spiritual depth, as we've got our regular routines are kind of out of sync, that we have this great opportunity to be able to build, as the message says, the life you've always wanted, to have that spiritual depth that you've been looking for. And I would encourage you, if you haven't had the chance to be able to watch the messages before, to do that. to really seize the day, carpe diem, seize the day and seize the opportunity to be able to develop. And today we want to talk about a topic that is one that probably not talked about a whole lot. At least I haven't. Maybe I've just been under a rock or whatever, but this topic is one that is not one that I have bumped into a lot. And so I'm really hoping that this will be helpful for you as we start to establish some good habits to be able to establish this one. And the one that we want to look at today is the practice of confession. Confession is a topic that I think is somewhat confusing, and hopefully by the end, maybe we'll bring a little bit of clarity on some of the issues surrounding confession. But let's take a look at confession. Now, I'm going to start off with a story from my own life. Now, this was when I was a kid. One of the things that we used to do when I was a kid was we would go to my aunt and uncle's farm. And they had a dairy farm just outside of my hometown. And so we would often go over there. And as a kid, going to the farm was always lots of fun. You know, we got to jump into the hayloft and go through the bales. And they had cows that were there. And so we would go see the cows. And they had lots of cats in the barn. And there was just tons of activities that you could be a part of. One of the things that I did the one time when I went to visit was is that one part of the barn had a metal roof, and it was slanted so that if you threw a stone on it, it would roll off, and then you could pick it up and do it again. And it would make the bing, 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 you know, made noises as you did that. And so what I would do is I did that for a while, and I would try to fire it up as far onto the roof as I possibly could. And the one time I thought, I'm going to really put it up there. And so I threw it as hard as I could, and I didn't throw it high enough, and it went straight through the window. And so I did what every probably 9 or 10-year-old boy would do in that situation. I ran for it. I hightailed it out of there, and I thought my sin was generally covered. You know, later they found the stone, and they found the broken window, and they asked me if I knew anything about it, and I said, well, there was a kid who had been visiting earlier, just as we had arrived, and so he had left, and so I said, well, he had been playing around there, and maybe he threw the stone through the window. So I did the proverbial passing of the buck. And so then I got it off with it. But one thing I didn't know was that my brother had actually seen me do it. And so whatever the case was, I didn't get in trouble for it. And my brother held on to that. And I thought he had long forgotten that until we were at a special family gathering. It might have even been my wedding or something like that. I can't even remember anymore. But whatever the case was, is that my brother decided that that was the perfect opportunity to blow the whistle on me. And so I had to, as an adult, apologize for breaking the window and lying about it. Sure, be sure your sins will find you out. I tell you that story because, well, one, it's kind of funny. But two, is that probably all of us have those kind of hidden things in our lives, the things that we carry around, and the regrets that we've made, the dumb things that we've done. And so we have all those different things, mistakes that just hang over us. And all of us have those kind of broken window stories tucked into our lives. And as we look at the topic of confession, that is God's way of kind of dealing with our regrets that we have in our lives. But confession is often a very confusing topic. And to kind of explain confession, I want to use it, but that this was helpful for me, of understanding that confession kind of happens on three different levels in the spiritual life. And the first one is what I call level one, or salvation. Salvation is the base point of the beginning of a life of faith, that you come to a point of believing in God. What is it that Awana used to say? Admit that you were a sinner. and believe in God and confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And, you know, it's easy as ABC. But there, in the midst of that, is this admission or confession of the inappropriate things that we've done, and realizing that we can't save ourselves and that we have to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what Scripture says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And through Jesus, we are purified from all the wrong things that we've done, and that we are put into a right relationship with God. And so that is kind of level one as far as confession goes. And generally, that is a one-time act that many of us on our spiritual journey, we can point back to a specific point in time when we made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And so that happened in that one time. And in that one act, the Bible tells us that, you know, we were cleansed, washed from our sins, and we were put into a right relationship with God. Behold, the old is gone, new is come. So that all happens in one moment in time. Now, for some, that's a little bit more of a process as you entered into relationship with Christ. But it's still generally the same principle, that this is a more of a one-time act. Now, the second level is the level two, which is the kind of the healing side of confession. And this is what it says in Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And so that along on the spiritual journey, there is also a call to continually confess, to come before God. You know, one of the simple prayer methods that I've often taught, and I've probably done it on a Sunday morning, is the Acts one, which is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so, you know, you need to give thanks to God, praise God for who He is, that you need to confess to Him, that you need to give thanks to Him, and then you also need to bring your request to Him. And there's this confession piece that's stuck in the middle there. And I've often thought, why is that there? And the reason is because ongoing confession is to be a part of our spiritual journey. And so it is the living in the liberating forgiveness of Christ. So we've been forgiven. That's the one-time act. And so now we live in the midst of that forgiveness, and so that we become free of regrets, because we have those broken window things that are weighing us down, and God doesn't want us to carry those things. And so what He does is He wants us to bring them to Him in confession. And then we find that we are now free from the regrets that we've had. And so we can continue on in going through the difficult work of confessing. But the outcome is that we are living free from regrets. And this confession is an ongoing process. It is not a one-time deal. For the rest of our lives, we will be in the process of doing this. This is the process of being sanctified, made more like Christ. Sanctified is just a big word for that, for becoming more like Christ each day. And this is the one that's our focus for today. We're not focusing on the confession that's going, that one-time act. And it's not the third one, which we're going to look at right now. The third level is the support and encouragement confession. And so this is what it says in James 4:6. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so this passage of Scripture says that what we need to do is, in safe environments, you know, kind of the safe relational environments where you have a relationship with people, that you confess to one another so that you can help each other to overcome those things and to encourage them along the journey. And so it's that accountability piece that is a part of it, so that you can, and so this is the third level, and it is helpful for accountability on the spiritual journey. And it is also very important because it helps with honest and transparent spirituality. Because many people don't want to talk about the wrong things they've done because they don't think anybody else is messing up. And so they don't want to be alone in their mess ups. And so they just hide it and they bury it and they keep it all to themselves because, well, nobody wants to admit that they're a sinner in the church. Let me tell you, The church is full of sinners. The church is full of hypocrites. That's just the way it is because we're people. And the more we are dishonest and lack transparency, the more we hide things. And that's why the accountability piece, this piece of confession, is so important. But that's not really what our focus is for today. We want to talk about that middle level of confession. Because confession can be quite confusing. And part of the reason is because of some religious backgrounds, there was, when they think of confession, what they basically think of is they are thinking of walking into a booth with a spiritual person on the other side of that booth, and that they confess what they did wrong, and then they are forgiven, and they have to maybe do some penance of some kind. Penance is like punishment that they have to do. So you have to pray certain prayers or something like that. And then if you do those things, then you're forgiven. Now, there's a couple things that are problematic with that. Number one, the Bible tells us that we don't need to go through what is called an ecclesiastical mediator. That means you don't have to go through somebody else in order to be able to confess and bring your things to God. You can go directly, boldly, we can go before the throne of Christ. And so it is not that you have to go to somebody else. And so sometimes it became, and the penance often was something that was not related to what you did. And so it became confusing that it was more of a meaningless ritual that you did just because you were forced to it. And so you kind of made something up. You maybe really didn't tell anything that you really did wrong. You just made something up in order to be able to do it. And so some people, when they think of confession in the church, that's what they think of. They think of a booth, they think of penance, and they think of going to get your sins forgiven. And sometimes it became more meaningless ritual than it became a real spiritually helpful reality. And so that's where sometimes you get into confusion. The other area where you get into confusion is that some people, because we've had that level one forgiveness of confession, that, you know, we confessed our faith in Jesus and we confessed our sins. And so what is the difference? Oh, I kind of got ahead of myself here. I'll jump to that point in a second. So why confess? Because your sins are already forgiven. So there's really no need for confession anymore because, well, God's forgiven all my sins, past, present, future. So what's the big deal? And so it kind of gets confusing, but that's where you have to understand it on different levels. That level is important for us because that guarantees that our salvation is not performance-based. It's not about what we do in order to be able to receive forgiveness. It's all because of the work of Christ. But then there's the second level where it helps us to live with liberty and freedom in the spiritual journey, and so that we don't have baggage in this life. And that's where this other area of confession comes in. Also, one of the other reasons why confession is because we were talking about this week, that the whole area of sin is a very sensitive topic, and, you know, you don't want to talk about that because people don't like the idea of being called a sinner. The church has often been very judgmental of people, and they felt like they were being called sinners, and so it is just an overwhelmingly. And so to confess sins, and when you're arguing whether or not people are sinners, it just becomes a confusing mess. And so we as Christians have to be careful to not be too judgmental of people that are outside the faith because, well, they're not on the same page as we are. And so anyway, that's the reason why there is so much confusion that surrounds the area of confession. But the practice of confession is helpful in with this. Confession is not primarily, this is from John Ortberg, confession is not primarily something God has to do because he needs it. God is not clutching tightly to his mercy as if we have to pry it from his fingers. God has already shown us mercy through the cross. And so this is not, it's not about that God needs this in order for us to forgive him or forgive us. You know, it's God is well loving and wants to show mercy to us. We need to confess to heal and to be changed. That God wants us to grow more into his image. And so if we have these regrets and we have these pains and we have all these things that are holding us back, God wants us to bring those things in confession to him. And through that process, we are helped and we are changed. You know, that's where the famous quote, you know, confession is good for the soul. Interesting side note is that the reformer Martin Luther, you know, actually wanted to keep confession for that very reason. He said that confession is so good for people. And so because it helps them on their spiritual journey. And so maybe we need to pull back a little bit and see some of the benefit that is there. We also need to understand about confession that it's not accounting. God doesn't have a book of your sins that he's waiting until you confess it to check it off. Because, and if you have unconfessed sin, you are in trouble. It's not accounting. You know, that whole idea of scales of good and bad things, you know, that's not what this is about. You know, God, when he looks at us, our lives, at the end of our lives, is going to look at the work of Jesus, and it's all going to be declared forgiven. So this is not what we're talking about here. This is something that is helpful for us on our spiritual journey. Not always an easy process, but it is a necessary process if we truly want to grow to be more like Christ. So there's two positive results that happen as we develop the practice of confession. Number one, we are liberated from our guilt. And number two, we will be a little less likely to sin in the same way in the future because sin will look and feel less attractive. And so it's trying to bring those things in the light so that we are not drawn back to them again. And so that's the hope is that as we confess, that as we do that, we'll be a little less likely to move in that direction again. So how do we practice confession in a way that heals our souls? Because ultimately, that's what God is interested in. God is interested in healing our souls. Now, I have to tell you this. You know, when you look at this topic, I consider myself an absolute novice. You know, if there were experts of this area, I'm not one. And so as I'm talking to you today, I am not coming at it from a vantage point of, oh, I know all these things. And I just know this is what the Word of God teaches and that we need to be moving in this direction. And so I'm hoping that we can all learn and grow in this area because I think that many of us, maybe you're way ahead of me, but as far as me and the teaching that I have received, I still feel very much like a novice. And so let's take a look. So what are we going to do? How do we do this? Number one is it's going to take some preparation. We need to place yourself in the care of the Spirit for a couple reasons. And that when as we come to God, that we need to make sure that we do it in a spirit of God, knowing that God loves us, that God cares for us, and that God wants to extend mercy to each one of us. Because it can very easily become a condemnation thing. And in Christ, it says, therefore, there now is no condemnation. And so as we're confessing, sometimes there is that overwhelming temptation to kind of beat yourself up. I know that I sometimes break into that type of prayer, you know, this absolute and utter, I suck, you know. That I am just not good, and so it becomes judgment and it becomes condemnation. And God is not interested in that avenue. He's interested in developing and growing and showing mercy. Now, it might be as the light of his Spirit shines on things. Yeah, it might be hard. But it's not so that I will be condemned for those things. It's so that I will be healed from those things. And so, or the other thing that we can do, and this is an easy temptation as well, is that sometimes we have to ask God to help us in this and prepare, because sometimes we do have an easy way of glossing over things. You know, as we look at other people, we go, well, those people, they're really bad. The things that I do, they're not that bad. And so we have to be careful not to just kind of gloss it over. And so the first step, very simple, is that you need to prepare. Ask God by His Spirit to meet with you as you confess. Number two, you need to do some self-examination. This is what the Word of God says. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so this scripture is very clear. You know, it's like, show me the things that you want me to wrestle with. And you know, and there are some specific areas that you can ask God to reveal to you, kind of to put the spotlight on the right area. So ask God to, and it says that what will happen through that process is that through the searching, eventually you will be led in the way everlasting, which is really kind of this cool other side of it. And so we need to be specific in those things. Not, you know, sometimes we go, I just confess that I did something, I probably have done some things wrong. And, you know, try to ask God to reveal to you something in your life that you really have been wrestling with, and ask God to reveal those things. The third thing we need to do is we need to ask God to change our perception. Sin can often make us very myopic. Now, I am actually myopic. I have what's called myopia or nearsightedness. And so if I take my glasses off, and you're going, whoa. Actually, it's kind of funny because the camera's really got fuzzy right now. And so... The only things that are in focus right now are the things that are immediately in front of me. Anything beyond that is starting to get fuzzy and I can't distinguish it. And so sometimes what happens is that sin can make us very myopic and focusing on only ourselves, and we don't see the larger issues. And so we need to ask God to kind of open our eyes so that we'll be able to see from His perspective. You know, sometimes you can do something and, you know, because I've had conversations with people and you all of a sudden you feel the prompting of the Spirit saying, you know, the way that you said that could have been really insensitive to their feelings. And you go, oh, okay. And then you go back and you say, you know what? When I said that, I didn't mean that. You know, I was just speaking out of this context. And so I am really sorry if that hurts your feelings. You know, something like that. Because sometimes we get very, you know, blinders on and we only see things from our perspective. And our perspective, I hate to tell you this, is not God's perspective. And God wants us to look at our issues from His perspective. And so watch that we don't get myopic. And this is a you know, kind of that classic scripture that talks about it. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck. And so sometimes we can get very judgmental towards other people and their behaviors. And God is saying, you know, why don't you take a look at your own things that you've got going on instead of judging other people? And so get the plank, or maybe it's a canoe, out of your own eye and not worry about the other person's issue. And so ask God to give you His perception as you look at things. And you need to ask yourself three questions. Number one, why did I do that? Now, this is an important question because sometimes it's very revealing. Like, you know, going back to my my issue of throwing the stone through the window. Well, why did I lie about that? Well, the main reason was because I liked my aunt and uncle and I didn't want to get in trouble. I just was trying to get myself out of trouble. And so I lied about it in order to be able to do that. And so usually there's a motive behind why you did what you did. And so sometimes we need to ask ourselves, you know, why did I do that? Why did I behave in such a way? because God will reveal that, because probably there's some motive that, you know, I was worried about saving face. I wanted to protect my image. I had pride. I didn't want to show that I was flawed. I didn't want to come across as this, you know, whatever it is. God wants us to evaluate and ask ourselves the question, well, why did I do that? And what happened as a result of it? You know, I've had different situations where I said something and afterwards it hurt them. And so what was the results? Well, I hurt somebody in the midst of it. And so I may have to go back afterwards and apologize to that individual because I, in my behavior, when I did something, I hurt somebody else. And so then I go and correct that. And so what happened as a result of that? And then how do I respond? So what is it that I need to do because of that? So you ask yourself, why did I do that? What was the outcome of what I did, and what do I need to do in response to that? And so you see that confession is a helpful part of right relationships with people. That we don't just sit on these things that kind of fester, that we actually do something about it. Many of us have all these things, regrets and difficulties, that we've just buried it all. And we've never dealt with any of that stuff. And so we're all burdened and weighed down with all this stuff because we've never actually done what Scripture tells us to do, which is to say, search me, O God, see if there's anything, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then the last thing that we need to do is we need to move to the new. We need to move to the new. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance. That leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Now, this can be interpreted in a couple different ways. But how I want to look at it is that godly sorrow is that when we look at it from our issues, from God's perspective, and we feel bad about that. You know, I'm sorry, God, that I did those things. That's godly sorrow. And it says that godly sorrow ultimately leads to repentance. And what's repentance? Repentance is a changing of direction. And so it means that I'm sorry for what I did, and now I am moving in a new direction. And that is repentance, and that leaves no regrets. And God wants us to live with as little regrets as we possibly can. And so the other side of it is that worldly sorrow, feeling bad about things and doing absolutely nothing with it, is ultimately going to bring about death in our lives. That we are crushed, that we are struggling, that we carry all this baggage that God doesn't want us to carry. So godly sorrow, even though it's hard and it's difficult to walk through, ultimately is going to bring us to a point of repentance and change of direction. And so the important thing that we need to discover is that as we walk through the path of confession, we receive new forgiveness. As we bring these things to God, God releases us from those things that are weighing us down because He wants to extend His mercy to us. We're not trying to pry it out of His hand. He wants to give it to us. And so we discover a new forgiveness and freedom that happens when we bring these things to Jesus. What we also discover is that in that process, that God gives us new grace in order to be able to live each day. I love the promise of God's word that tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. And so each day is a new day, and that I can be set free from the regrets that I have, and that God will give me new grace in order to be able to live in a new way for Him each day. And ultimately, I am given a new promise that when I have been set free from those things, that I find that I am able to promise, make God promise that I will be good on, a new promise to be live in a different way. And so, and then that's actually where the other side of the third level comes in, is that I'm, as I make that new promise, I let somebody else know, and they help me to hold true to that. So God has come up with this wonderful system of confession that ultimately he says, if you admit your sin and you believe in me and you come into a relationship with me, the slate is clean. But along life's journey, you're going to have those things that are going to weigh you down. And you know what? God says to us, I'm going to set you free from that. I'm going to set you free from all of that stuff. If you just come to me in confession, I am faithful to forgive you in those things. And then God says, I'm going to give you people along the journey that are going to help you along as you learn in this area. God wants us to be a people of confession. Not because it's just something that you have to do and it becomes a meaningless ritual that you get involved with. No, that's not what he's interested in. God wants us to come to him. And when we do that, we find that we find a new freedom that we've never had before. And as we close the service off, this might be an area where, you know what, you've probably not done a lot of thinking about. I know that I haven't done a lot. And sometimes when you deal with something and you're going, great, great, another new thing for me to work on. Let me just encourage you that right now, in the privacy of your home, that you just think of one step, one thing that you can do in order to be helped move in this direction. Ask God to reveal to you, what's one thing that you can do to help grow in this area? Because this is something that is a part of God's word that many of us have lost track of because it's been confusing and we didn't understand it. And God doesn't want to make it too complicated, but he does want you to start moving in that direction. So I would encourage you right now, right now, think of one thing that you can move in this area. Have you got it? All right, now we're going to pray about it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person who's watching this service. And Father, maybe they're the experts in this area, but I think that many are like me, that we're novices in this area. And right now, we thought of one thing that we're going to do to start this journey. And I pray, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would help them in order to be able to move in this direction. The enemy is going to want to come in and he's going to want to condemn. He's going to try to whisper in our ears, you know, you're not good. You're just a mess up. And the Spirit of God doesn't do that. In Christ, there is no condemnation, and so we bind the work of the evil one so that, Father, we can grow in our faith and our trust in you. And as we bring these things to you, we pray, Father, that you would help us to live in a new liberty and freedom, free from regrets. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing, Lord, I Need You, because you really do. I don't know if I hate to tell you, but I'm going to tell you, you need him. And you need him each day to give you the grace that you need in order to be able to get through each day with the liberty and freedom Jesus so wants to give you. And so let's sing this, Lord, I Need You, as we close the service.
Confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart, and you're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Well, I hope you made that your prayer as we sang it together. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And let's make him, as we determine to do that one thing that God placed upon our heart, let's look to him to be that strength, our one defense that we need for each day. Well, God bless you. I hope that you have an amazing week. Don't forget our children and youth service next Sunday. We'd love you to be a part of it. All you have to do is go to calendarbaychurch.ca to register. It's going to be a great time. And so you can do that. Also, Living Nativity needs that extra help. So if you're interested in that, please speak to Wilma, Patricia, or myself. Well, again, you can just join in a conversation that takes place following the service, and so that you can just enjoy fellowshipping with one another. God bless you. Have a great week.